Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, attention and ADHD coach, Jeff Copper. Tonight, we're going to be talking about ADHD and teens driving, what a parent should know. And with us in our virtual studio is Gail Sweeney and Ann Shanahan. Tonight is Wednesday, August the 31st in the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to get into the meat of the show, but before we do that, I want to make an announcement. If you haven't checked it out, you need to. The 2016 Annual International CHAD Conference, CHAD stands for Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, is going to be in November the 10th through the 12th in Costa Mesa, California. If you have not been to a ADHD conference, you need to go. We have great content. They have great content. But what they have over what Attention Talk Radio has is you're there and you're among the people. And it's amazing how much you learn between sessions, presentations, if you will, at the lunchroom and talking to the speakers after their presentations are over with. I think I've said this before. I saw Dr. Barkley after a presentation for an hour and a half answering questions to anybody who was there. He stood there until everybody was exhausted. You can't get that anywhere else. So if you haven't gone to that conference, you should. And if you've been before, you should check it out. You can learn more and sign up at chadd.org. Also, Dr. Barkley's asked us to promote ADHDfund.com, which is a crowdsourcing website to raise money for small-scale research worldwide. With all that being said, after that great announcement about the CHAD conference, we are thrilled. CHAD has been a longtime supporter of ours, and in fact, this show is actually being brought to you by CHAD, and we have a great tip from CHAD that really kind of mirrors our show tonight. So we'll run the tip, and we'll get into the show, so bear with us.
Why are older adults the fastest growing population to be diagnosed with ADHD? Is there such a thing as adult onset ADHD? Get answers to your questions at CHAD's annual conference. Are you one of the many women with ADHD who've spent years hiding symptoms? Step out of the shadows at CHAD's annual conference on ADHD in Costa Mesa, California this November. Register at chad.org. That's chadd.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Again, thank you to CHAD for their long-term support. Again, they're the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We've actually got a couple shows coming up in the next 2 months about their what they do to advocate. And if you're not a member of that organization, I encourage you to check it out. So you're listening tonight because you want to learn about teens and driving with ADHD. Tonight in our virtual studios, we have Gail Sweeney, and I think Ann Shanahan is going to be joining us in a little bit. They're ADHD and executive functioning coaches who specialize in working with teens, college students, and young adults who have ADHD and other executive functioning issues. They're co-creators and authors of a new program, Behind the Wheel with ADHD. Gail and Ann hope to share their passion to help people focus on specific strengths, weaknesses, in a remarkably tailored driver education experience. They also created the Train Workshop Effective Self-Advocacy in College for the Department of Services for Students with Disabilities at Loyola University in Chicago. And you can tonight we're going to be talking about driving and stuff, but they've got a great program that you can learn more about by going to BehindTheWheelWithADHD.com. And with that, Gail, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm so happy to be here. Very excited about our program.
Yes, I'm very excited about this. I think I was talking to you before the show. This particular show I've wanted to do for about 3.5 years. It took me a while to find the right guest with the right content, but I think we've got some good stuff going. So, first of all, I just want to kind of talk a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about the statistics? I understand that if you have ADHD, the statistics in terms of accidents and speeding tickets, it's somewhat enlightening to see that there's a difference. Can you talk to us about that?
Yes, of course. Yes, the greatest risk to the health and safety of young people in this country is driving a motor vehicle. And this is across the board, but it's severely exacerbated with teens who struggle with ADHD and other executive functioning issues. For example, in 17 teens aged 16 to 19 died every day from motor vehicle injuries.
Wow.
And it's staggering when you compare, it's bad anyway, but it's staggering when you compare the ADHD teens to the general population of their counterparts. For example, the teens with ADHD are 7 times as likely to have been in 2 or more accidents as their counterparts. They're 2 times as likely to have had a speeding ticket. They're 5 times as likely to have a traffic citation. 6 to 8 times more likely to have had their license suspended or revoked for poor driving behavior. And the list really goes on and on. And this was really what created a passion with Ann and I to delve deeper and to try to do what we could to bring some meaningful research that others had done to this population of students.
Well, I applaud you on the research side of it, because I think you cited some absolutely amazing tickets. Seven times more likely than the average teen at that age to be in an accident, or 2 times more likely to be a student. These are big numbers, and those are the statistics. But Ann, what I kind of applaud you, Gail, you and Ann for doing is not only just recognizing this, but wanting to do something about it. Because a couple years ago, you were getting asked by parents about this particular topic, and you looked around for resources, and there was nothing on the topic. Is that right?
Yes, Jeff, that's exactly right. The way this came to be is Ann and I are both trained ADHD and executive functioning coaches. And in fact, we took our training from Jody Sleeper Triplets program, coaching teens and college students. So, of course, when we set up our practice here in Chicago, it was filled with mostly teens and college students, you know, which is logical.
Yep.
That was our training. And so we were serving these families and working with these teens and college students. And so many of the parents were coming to us, and they were saying, oh, my goodness, you know, this coaching really works, which we know it does. And it works for my child in the academic arena. You know, you have helped him or her with study skills, organizational skills, time management, and so on. What can you do for me with driver's ed? You know, here I have a teenager, 15 years old, that wants to go and get a driver's license, and I am terrified. You know, it is the driver education model in our country is such that you just drop your child off, and it's pretty much the same. It's a model that's been in use for 60 years. So Ann and I set about digging up research that, from a wide variety of places. You know, CHOP, which is the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, has done great work. But we also reached out to Dr. Russell Barkley, and he did write a book some years ago, but he encouraged us to continue digging, you know, for current information, current material on the topic. And that's what the product of that is our training program. We cover, you know, the latest in technologies and things like that that really weren't available back when Dr. Barkley did his wrote his book. Yeah.
Well, as I said, I wanted to do this like 3.5 years ago when I did it. There was nothing that was out there. What I like about what you guys are doing, and everybody, if you're listening to the show, we're going to start getting into some tips for parents and some other details in just a second, but I want to kind of set the table. You guys are revolutionizing it, because you're just not talking about this and doing webinars and stuff to help parents, but you're actually training driver's ed teachers about explaining what ADHD is all about, so they can become aware of the ADHD driver that are coming through driver's ed classes, and helping them help that crowd. That's pretty kind of amazing that you guys actually kind of are educating at that level. How did you originally start off doing that, or was that your main focus?
That's a good question. That actually we had dug up all this research, and we wrote the program originally as a book. And we got feedback. We took it to a CHAG conference and talked to some publishers and so on. And we started getting feedback that this is really a good body of information, but it was best utilized with the person sitting in the seat next to the student, you know, the driver education instructor who is going to be working with that student. And who really, by and large, I mean, there are exceptions, there really are, and we've met plenty of exceptions, but most of them have no awareness or no training in ADHD or other executive functioning impairments. And so when they work with these students, they are working just as they work with everyone else. And the parents are used to, in the academic arena, the parents are used to getting IEPs and 504 plans. I know that's what we call them here in Illinois. They're called different things in different states, but accommodations. And there really were no, quote, accommodations set up in driving schools. There were no specially trained instructors to implement strategies that would help this population of students because they do, in fact, learn differently.
Yep. Absolutely. Now, you guys, actually, I tell you what, I want to kind of delve into this a little bit more, but I think we got a natural break here. So I want to go into the break, and I want to come back and talk about a little bit about what you guys are doing to educate the driver's ed instructor, and then start to speak a little bit more about tips that parents can kind of keep on the inside, because I know you're educating the driver's ed people out there, but it's going to take a while for that to happen. Meanwhile, we've got some great ideas. So, if anybody wants to learn more about what you guys are doing or attend, you guys actually have a webinar for parents just on this topic. Is that right?
We do. We are going to start. We had them all through, and then we stopped for summer. We had them through the spring, and we're going to be starting up again in fall. So watch the Edge Foundation website. They are who hosts us, and it will be promoted on that website, and registration is through the Edge Foundation website for the parent webinars, and they're coming for fall again.
And just a real plug, Edge Foundation has been a long-term supporter of Attention Talk Radio, which is actually invaluable, and they are a nonprofit organization that's pulling this stuff together. Their president, Neil Peterson, has been a devout person to this space for a long time. I think he works for like a dollar a year, and is actually – He started this organization and is promoting things like this. So hats off to you guys. Hats off to Neil. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk Radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Gail Sweeney talking about teens driving, the risk, and some insights on what to do about it. And, you know, it's fascinating, the statistics that you cited before the break, Gail. This is a profound difference in what's going on. And if you understand ADHD as a self-regulation issue and a struggle with attention, it really all makes a lot of sense. And I applaud you guys for not just sitting down and talking about it, but actually going out and educating the driver's ed teachers that are teaching the teens and giving them education on how to work with them. As a parent, though, you're out there, and what they can do today is I've listened to some of your stuff, and I've just been amazing because there are some things that really make a lot of sense that can really help maybe a parent work with a teen that's kind of driving that I have to say they're kind of obvious, but if you're not used to thinking about them, it's kind of wild. So I just kind of want to kind of walk through some insights that you guys share in your program with parents and for instructors. And one of the things that kind of blew me away was if you're going to get a car for your child to drive, the fewer seat belts, the better. Can you explain to me what that's all about? Why that makes so much sense?
Yes, certainly. We know that most people are not going to run out and purchase a car just because they have a new driver in the house. But oftentimes, you know, they do need a new car, just the size of the family, number of drivers and whatnot. So when they ask us, we give them the advice that we've been given by Dr. Daniel Cox, who's very well known in the ADHD treatment community. And he's done some amazing work, the University of Virginia, concerning vehicle choice. And so one of the things is, you know, the fewer passenger seats, the better, because the person who has ADHD, the driver, is going to be more easily distracted, we know this, by conversations going on inside the car.
Yep.
Also, things going on outside the car as well, but they're just more easily distracted. So distractibility plays in. The fewer the seats, you have a better shot of, you know, having less passengers because they won't all pile in
yep,
the car.
Yep.
Yep. Another thing about vehicle choice that Dr. Kipes researched and we try to share with, you know, the people we work with, the instructors, so that they can advise the families, is that although it's counterintuitive, it's actually better for a driver who has ADHD to use the stick shift. And this is something that is proven because it is a sensory, it requires the senses to be focused on manipulating the stick shift and driving the car while doing that. And it keeps their focus so that their mind doesn't wander. So I thought that was interesting research, and we included it in our training program.
So a stick shift is better than an automatic transmission?
Yes, manual transmission. Yes,
wow.
Better than automatic. For people who struggle with ADHD, because it is a sensory
yep.
thing that pulls
yep.
their attention back into the act of driving, which is what you're trying to accomplish, of course.
Absolutely. Well, like I said, I like that. It's counterintuitive. I would have thought the other one. That's why this is great. These are insights that will help parents really kind of set their kids up for success. So I like that one. Another one that correct me if I'm wrong, is cars that are lower to the ground. Is that helpful?
Yes. We don't recommend that they purchase an SUV. And again, I'll go back to say they can drive whatever they have already. But we are occasionally asked, well, what should we purchase if we are getting our child a car? Low to the ground is better because the statistics show that the SUVs and the ones that are higher up are more subject to turning, you know, flipping and turning, and especially in bad weather. So it just mitigates one more area of risk. And so we But the most important thing about the vehicle choice, Jeff, that's really been, you know, proven is the parents keeping control of the cars and the keys so that the student, especially during the driver training phase, but that the teen doesn't think that is his car or his keys, because they have this jump-and-go mentality often where a friend will call and they will impulsively run out the door, get in the car, and off they go. And we know there's a lot of risks associated with that. Again, this is all trying to mitigate the extra risks that are found with
yep,
ADHD
yep.
and driving. And so it was a parent maintaining control of the keys and the teen knowing that is the family car, the parent's car, that they are given the privilege to use, but it's not their car to jump and go. It kind of reins them in a little bit on that, and it helps mitigate that risk of impulsivity.
And so if when I was kind of going through some of your stuff, I like what you're saying, but one of the key, what I think I heard is your keys in a common area, but there's like, the teen doesn't have a separate set of keys, so there's the keys, so you can't grab and go. Matter of fact, they actually may have to go to the parent to get to the keys in order to go, which creates that kind of built-in pause and stuff that
yes,
to kind of
exactly.
prevent that jump
yeah.
and go. Which is, I have to tell you, even in my house, my older son, when he was going through, we gave him his keys, and I've got my younger son now just got his learner's permit like a year ago, and I'm apt to go do that. But this is why this is such a good thing, because I wouldn't have thought about it, but I can see that, you know, I got to go ask my dad for the keys, or that you got control of it. Really makes a lot of sense when you think about it, but I don't think it's something that most parents would think about. So really good stuff. You also start talking about spending a longer time where the driver has a learner's permit or in that stage. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure, yes. The procedure for obtaining a driver's license in most states remains very, very minimal, which was actually really startling to Anna and I when we started delving into this. Some states, believe it or not, do not even require a learner's permit. And some allow a permit to be obtained before the age of 16. And, you know, it's all over the board then following that, although some states have installed graduated licensing, which we call GDL, it's Graduated Driver's License Plan, with sensible restrictions for the youngest drivers, many of them still impose only very minimal requirements. And we have to keep in mind that granting a license is a state's right, so there's variations in the requirements from state to state. But overall, you know, it can be said that there's three stages. There's a learner stage, requires a parent or a licensed driver in the car at all times. The second stage is the intermediate stage with restrictions on the time of day and so on in the presence of passengers. And then there's the full unrestricted license. But just from what I've said here, you can see that this is like, this is very permissive for very easy. Very easy to get a license. And so I think anyway for teens, they could use more training and more time. But for the ADHD population where just think of the accommodations in school. They get up to double time or time and a half on tests and such. We know they learn differently. So affording them and offering them extra time is a good thing, you know, a good expanded training program. So one of the cornerstones of our Behind the Wheel with ADHD training program is an enhanced and more rigorous GDL phase. But it is important to remember that it's the parent who must ultimately determine the teen's readiness to obtain a license with full driving privileges.
I want to kind of share specifics. I live in Tampa, Florida. And again, my son just got his learner's permit. And you can get it at age 15, on your birthday at age 15. And you can't get your driver's license until you've had your learner's permit for 1 year. But there's no driving test. There's no – I think there's an eye test. Basically, they have to go online and take a test on, like, drugs and a couple things. It was real academic stuff. There's no real hands-on. And I think my son can drive in daylight hours with somebody over 21 for the first 3 months. And to your point – a 15-year-old just going on and just because you can answer questions to a drug test online does not make you a driver. And it's funny because I used to take them out. My parents live up in Virginia and they have a long driveway and we drive around. I've been trying to train it and it's so easy to get that learner's permit. And honestly, I'm not a professional instructor, but I'm basically teaching him how to drive. And he doesn't have ADHD, but I think the point really is some states it's really pretty easy to get this. There's really no formal instruction. And when you take a look at somebody with ADHD with self-regulation issues and you throw this on top of it, it can get problematic real quick. And I think what you guys are really preaching is that learner's permit a little bit longer, working with the team to make that happen. It makes some sense, but – in the context of what you describe, it even makes more sense because you're basically unleashing these kids to go out there and not necessarily learn the thing. So I want to go to break here in a second, but you got anything you want to add to what I just said?
No, that's you stated that really articulately, and that is something that is a struggle, but it's important to create awareness with the parents, you know, for what formal driver's education in our country, you know, is right now.
Yep.
So.
I want to go to break real quick. As you said, you guys had taken a break from offering your webinar over the summertime. You're going to start that up again. You can learn more at it's edsfoundation.org, correct? I got that.
Yes. And of course, on our website, we'll be promoting it as well, behindthewheelwithadhd.com.
And yeah, if you go there, the Edge Foundation has got a lot of great stuff. If you go to behindthewheelwithadhd.com, it's really kind of dedicated to that. So you got both those websites to check it out. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Gail Sweeney, one of kind of the co-writers, producers, and webinar of Behind the Wheel with ADHD.com. We're having a great conversation about ADHD and teen drivings and what parents should know. The top of the show, we were talking about the statistics. Clearly, there's an issue with driving and risk associated with those with ADHD. And Shanahan and Gail Sweeney took matters into their own hand because there was virtually nothing out there, and I think is revolutionizing, literally revolutionizing driver's ed by bringing this awareness and creating a training program for driver's ed. But you parents out there who are dealing with this day to day, we're trying to give you some tips and some things to think about to kind of mitigate the chances and kind of help you navigate this. In the middle section, we were kind of talking about some tips, and I want to kind of continue on some of that stuff. And Gail, one of the things that's interesting is medication. There's some people that are pro medication. There's some that are against medication. I get asked often as a coach, am I for or against? And I said, well, I'm actually pro education. And
right.
I'm not necessarily sure that I have all the answers, but one of the things I sound like I'm pro medication sometimes because I'm always fighting the ignorance of the long-term effects of not taking the medications. And with that being said, medications and driving could potentially be a good idea because the long-term effects of not taking the medication, not being focused, could lead to an accident and some of the statistics that we just said. So can we talk about, you know, the advantages of taking the medication for the teens or making sure they do that when they drive?
Sure, absolutely. Okay, the reason for raising the topic, I won't say that we ever recommend medication because we are not physicians. Ann and I are not physicians, and we're not training physicians. We're training driving instructors and offering tips to parents. So our place is not to speak of the specific medications, but we can talk about, we can raise the topic of it. And as coaches, you know, like you, we observe things, and so we're aware of the medication. So What we say is that to date, and this is true, stimulant medication is the only therapeutic intervention for patients with ADHD that demonstrates the clear ability to improve driving performance. And that's just a fact, you know, statistics that, you know, both self-reported and some of the things that are in our training program, we show some of the graphs and so on. But on stimulant medication, a driver on proper medication under the supervision of a physician, we always say that, ADHD driver can perform nearly as well as the non-ADHD driver. So we know that medications positively impact attention during driving. Now, I want to say a few things about this because the way this all plays out, Jeff, is the parents and the teens oftentimes think of prescribed medication as something that's useful to cover the hours that the teen is in school. So it's something that you think of from 8 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. But sadly, most of the fatalities and the statistics are horrible in this. When most of the accidents happen are weekends, evenings after 3 p.m., and June, July, and August, which are times that the teen often takes a holiday from medications. So what we saw this, and we talked to these parents, and a parent who would never consider allowing their teen to go to school on a given day and take a test, whether it be a final exam or a midterm or just even a quiz or anything, without taking their stimulant medication, you know, they say, did you take your Ritalin or whatever it is, that same parent may often casually allow the same teen to get behind the wheel of a car without their medication. So while we aren't pro-medication, we do say that if you are under the care of a physician and you're taking medication, that you should consider taking it to cover when you're going to drive a car, because the stakes at, you know, losing attention during the operation of a motor vehicle are more severe than taking a test.
Top of the show, you cited some exceptionally profound statistics. I mean, there's absolutely a question from what I've read and what you've stated in the research that there's a statistical difference in of impairment here. And the notion is, let's just talk to the crowd that takes medication. You'd have them take a test, but you wouldn't necessarily have it taken when they're driving, and they can kill themselves when they do that. And I want to be careful, because I don't want to sound like I'm pro medication, because I'm actually really kind of not.
No, I'm not either.
Lots of times that it's not. But right. if you're there and you're talking about a teen that's driving and it's an intervention, I think it's got to be a part of the conversation. And I think you got to do the research and make the right choice. And I think what you've just described is profound. The people that would say, oh, my kid's taking it for school. It's not like, and by the way, the meds, if you've taken fast acting, the instant release, are good for about 4 hours. You take the extended release, they're like for 8 hours, which goes back to what you described. Gail, you take them in the morning, they start to wear off at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and these things are happening at those particular times. At least for that crowd, it's something to consider.
Yes, Jeff, it is. I do have some statistics on that I'll just share real quick. 56% of teenage crash deaths occur on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. 50% of teen deaths occur between 3 p.m. and midnight, and 27% of these deaths take place during June, July, or August. This is according to the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, Highway Loss Data Institute. So knowing this, it's all clear that if you are under the care of a physician, that the implication is that the medication is not just useful for school, but also for driving a car.
Absolutely. Two other topics I want to touch base is, one is the need for tutoring and supplemental help. And you've really alluded to this several times earlier, as much as in school, sometimes there's accommodations and there's those types of things. And supplemental tutors for driving, as I've described my son, who's got this, my older son, when he went through, which is another issue too, is if you go through public school, a lot of time there's a driver's ed course, and there's some things that if you go to private school, many times that stuff is not available to you, and you got to go to private companies. And sometimes that can be difficult to get to. Believe it or not, which kind of surprised me, because when my older son was reaching out, we had a hard time actually finding a driver's ed instructor that wasn't tied to a school district. But that notion of trying to find somebody who tutors them and learns and kind of work with them individually. So you want to speak to that more specifically for a minute?
We don't have connections with people that do that. We are not aware of that. But what we do is the schools that we work with, we make sure that they have been exposed to the various techniques of how best to work with this population. We specifically go into commentary driving and how to utilize it with someone who struggles with ADHD. The person who struggles with ADHD has some social deficits, and by social I don't mean homecoming and that kind of thing. I mean connecting with adults especially. And so we go through step by step how you can kind of break that down, break those barriers down, and engage the student in the learning and have a student become an active learner instead of passive.
Yep.
So I could say that the tutoring could turn into just finding someone with the training in a driving school, you know, near you. But yes, we do see the need to work with the students differently.
Absolutely. The other thing, too, I just want to kind of – one point we'll start to kind of wrap it up is actually getting their driver's license a little bit later. And often more and more people start talking about ADD and executive functioning. Those with ADHD, their prefrontal cortex or the executive function is like 25% behind. So imagine you've got a 16-year-old, at least in the state of Florida, drive, and the decision-making and executive functioning process is more like a 14 or early 15-year-old. And that desire to kind of wait a little bit longer so that can develop. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. What you're talking about is the maturational lag that is common with teens with ADHD, and it's a very real thing. The delay is most prominent in regions at the front of the brain's cortex. Like you said, it controls the thinking, the attention, the planning, and so on. And it is a very real thing. So what you would think I was going to say is to wait to train your teenager until they catch up with their peers. But that, although it's counterintuitive, I'm not going to say that, because the way it works in most states is your teenager, once they reach, and it's 18 here, it's different, you know, everywhere, but they can just go to the DMV and they can take a test and they can get the license. They have completely blown past the GDL phase, which is this intense training that we're advocating. So what we want to do is hook them while they will be subject to the GDL, the training phase, mm-hmm. and the expanded mm-hmm. Time. As far as going and actually getting the license, yes, you it would be prudent to wait because of the maturational yep. lag. You know, it isn't just the planning and the prioritizing necessary for this, but it's also things like there's a lag in self-regulating capacity is very limited,
yep.
for example. It can
yep.
cause road rage and showing off and things like that. So this, and maturity of judgment is a critical factor that calls for the driver to be able to apply all these rules and strategies at the right time in the right place and with appropriate response to all the conditions presented. And this is impaired or affected by the maturational lag that you spoke of.
You know, I waited 3.5 years to do this show, and this has been spectacular because it's really doing, because we're putting a spotlight. So often people think of ADD about a work and school type thing. And I think the statistics at the top of the show really kind of prove that this really impacts, ADHD impacts more than just school and work. And there's something that's here. And I really like that you guys have taken leadership here and trying to do something about it, not on a local level, but on a national level, to put this program to teach instructors what's going on and then educate parents. And there's so many of these tips that you've just described that are counterintuitive that I wouldn't have thought about as a parent, that doesn't completely solve the problem, but it mitigates the risk. And that's, I think, really what we're talking about. So, Gail, as we kind of wipe this out, any last comments, any last thoughts that we should share before we wrap it up?
No, thank you so much, Jeff. This has been quite an honor to be part of this. You do good work. And I would say to the parents, check out the EDGE Foundation. They're good people. And that's where our next parent webinar will be, through EDGE Foundation. And check out our website is behindthewheel.com.
Behind the wheel with ADHD.com. That's a long
right.
URL. You have to think about remember it. I kind of
right. I had
out
to think about it there. Behind the wheel with ADHD.com. And also, I just want to say that in addition to the parent webinars that they'll be able to access, if you go as a parent to your local driving school, I just had a call from one today. If you go to your local driving school and you make them aware of our training and our program and connect them with us, we can train them so that right in your neighborhood, you could have a school that has a specialized training and can work with your child.
Wow. That's spectacular. So again, that's behind the wheel with ADHD.com. And actually at this age, you need to go check out the edgefoundation.org, because not only are they going to help you get connected with this program, but when your teen starts venturing out to college and stuff, as you heard from our commercials, they've been a support of us, and they are non-for-profit, and they're out there trying to use coaching as a tool to help people, adolescents and those going off to college. So with all that being said, Anne, this has been spectacular. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jeff, for having me.
Everybody, we hope you enjoyed this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Again, theedgefoundation.org or behindthewheelwithadhd.com. Please check it out. With that, catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.